was a problem, yo, I'll solve.
Where to you, mother?
We're matching today.
We are matching.
Welcome to Two Cool Moms. I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm not.
And here's the thing with you.
Yes.
People comment this a lot, that you don't look comfortable.
I don't look comfortable.
Yeah, like with the shirt, with your choice in outerwear. It looks like it's that heavy, doesn't look comfy.
I love it. I'm very comfortable.
Okay, I just want everybody at home to know.
Yeah, I'm in layers because we bank episodes, so... I was telling Jiggy I'll be in a mesh tank top by the end of the day in
boy shorts. Topless.
Yeah.
Topless and Speedos.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Looney Tunes. I like it.
Yeah.
I've been educating my son on it because HBO Max, they have...
I have all of them, yeah.
All of them. And little known fact, when we were doing... very little known fact. Season 3 of Sullivan and Son, which was filmed on the Warner Brothers lot, we were in a very odd-shaped building. And I said, why is the building shaped this way? And it was shaped a certain way because what happened is you go into this big room, which was our writer's room.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was there were all these windows up top that slanted down. So it was like slant down window on the roof of the building.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what is this all about? And they told us that back in the 30s and 40s, I believe it was, and 50s, the animators would sit in that room, and that was the best. It was angled at the right way for the sunlight to come in.
Amazing.
So it reflected in so they could animate all day and get all that sunlight.
Oh, that's really cool.
And it was kind of, it was like real, you look at the aesthetics, I was like, wow. And it's like, oh, this is where they drew, like, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
It's so funny because you'd be annoyed, like, you're like, oh, what a waste of space. And then you find out why, and it's like, oh, that's really cool.
You know?
But they don't have to worry about that shit anymore.
No, who's your favorite Looney Tunes character?
Wile E. Coyote has always had a special place in my heart.
Yep.
I've always loved Wile E., but Looney Tunes top to bottom. I mean, Gossamer, the big orange monster, I love him. I think he's a lot of fun. You know, Marvin the Martian was always a good time. The only one I didn't really get to, I really didn't take to was Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Or Pepe Le Pew. I guess I don't like foreigners. But those are the two I didn't know. Those are the two I didn't really like. Those, everybody else I was really like, I liked a lot. But I liked the Daffy Duck. Like, I have 3 or 4 episodes that are just stand out because me and my sisters used to watch them together.
Right.
And I remember the hardest my sister and I used to, and this is before you could rewind, right? So this is the hardest that I remember my sister Gina and I laughing. There's one where it's Daffy Duck plays Robin Hood and Porky Pig, and he's trying to impress Porky Pig, who's Friar Tuck. And he's trying to sing. He's singing a song, and the song goes, and I'm trip, a trip, a trip, a trip. And then he trips down the mountain. He's going, trip, a trip, a. And then he goes, trip, a trip, a trip. And then he just, I remember just falling apart laughing at that all the time. And then I remember when I first got the DVDs of the Looney Tunes, I could rewatch it. And I went to my sister's house, and I said, check this out. And we just watched the trip, a trip, and rewound for like forever and laughed so hard. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I remember when I first passed at this Comedy Cellar, Keith Robinson, great comic, would always go, shut up, shedding it. And I never really put it together, and I was watching him with my son and Bugs Bunny with the gangsters, and one of the gangsters says that to him, and I was like, oh my God.
Before he smacks the big Mungo dude. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to love all of them. I will say it's probably my biggest comedic influence. I would go on record for saying Looney Tunes is probably my biggest comedic influence growing up.
All the physicality. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of that. Yeah. And just like, there's always different dynamics. I always say that about Looney Tunes, which I liked was it really tapped into different ones. You know, you got like the buddy comedy kind of stuff, you got the adversarial relationships, you got just like the solo stuff, you got the straight up physical comedy. Like each character really embodied their, just that whole thing. Like if you think about Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner, there's no words, right? I was totally engrossed as a child.
Sure.
Right? Where you're totally like all over the place, but I would just sit there and just watch that, and I didn't even have to listen to anything, you know?
Well, tell me what you think about this. I was thinking about this because I was thinking about like Looney Tunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all those great characters. And we grew up at a time when those cartoons would be on all the time because there were like 3 channels and there was cable, but you'd still have it on. And now there's so much out there and they've tried to reboot it so many times in different forms or fashions. But I think at the end of the day, it'll never be as great as that because Mel Blanc embodied all those characters. And you'll never... You could put Bugs Bunny in this situation, that situation, that situation, but you'll never have Mel Blanc doing those voices again and exhibiting their personality. And he did every single one of those characters So much so that he, over the course of his career, I think he did, he's like credited with over 1,000 voices.
Yeah, because he even do like the neighbor or the random people on it, all of them. He would just do the whole thing.
Yeah, and I remember the first time I heard, I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
Have you ever seen the reels of him? Like, have you ever seen the stuff of him like recording? It's insane.
There's a great episode of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson where Carson's interviewing Jack Benny and Mel Blanc. And Mel Blanc, back in the radio program for Jack Benny, would do all the voices of like starting up the car and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
so he's Folly Track?
Doing all of it. He's doing it all of it. And then Jack Benny was just saying this one time, he was like, yeah, we had a bull that was Spanish. It was in the script. And it's like, well, how do you just distinguish that? And so they threw it to Mel Blanc and he did something, but he put a tinge on it. And it was so funny.
That's great. So I mean, I wish I have. Do you have the ability to do voices? Like when your kids were younger, did you... Like, I talk with my kids' stuffies, like they're stuffed animals.
Sure.
Like, they make me say goodnight or whatever. And my son now, he now gives me notes.
I'm not.
What about your daughter?
I'm not great at voices.
Oh, like, you're not?
Yeah.
All right. No. If I gave you your, be a bunny robbing a bank.
A bunny robbing a bank?
Yeah.
Hey, as good as you can put up.
You are not good at voices.
You're right. All the money.
Did this rabbit recently have a stroke and is choking on Alka-Seltzer?
I don't know. Okay, bunny asking for a milkshake.
Hey, I need a milkshake, please. See, that's pretty good, right? Okay, yeah, you can animate that. Yeah.
I like mine better.
My son's, excuse me, notes.
You guys give it up.
We should do that. We'll do this next piece as those characters.
Okay.
I'll tell the story as that character.
Okay.
So my boy likes when I make voices, but he gives me notes. Well, my boy likes to just
stop. Everyone's tuning out. No, but my son will start giving me notes now. I'll be like, he has this bear, and he'll be like, Dad, you have to say good night. We have a ritual when we say good night, right? It's like snuggles, pets, whatever. He has like a whole thing he goes through. He's got a little bit of OCD, so we have to run through the whole list and do everything.
Yeah.
So one of the things he says is voices, and I have to say goodnight with his bear to him. Mm-hmm. And he'll always give me notes like, Dad, he's a baby. He talks like a baby. Like if I will go, good night, Remo, like that. He's like, Dad, he's like a baby. So I'll have to be like, good night, Remo. And he's like, better.
Again from the top.
Let's start again.
Again from the top.
Scene four, can we go
more
to
emotion, more Joe. Emotion.
Yeah. It's funny though. I always liked making voices. Did you ever, when you were younger?
Did you ever ask to do voiceover?
Oh, no, I don't have a good voice for
voiceover. But with all the stuff you've done, I'm sure there's got
to
have been
I would love
a show that you're that they know you're fans of that would have you come in
and
do a voiceover.
Yeah, I reach out to every, like, kid show that my kids watch. I would like, my kids would lose their minds if I was, like, my kids watch, like, Bluey or, like, you know, even any of the, like, animated movies and stuff, like Trolls and whatnot. Like, I just want to be somebody in the back that just says something. You know what I mean? I thought that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Video games is another place where I thought it'd be fun to do voices. Like, oh, I think video games is great.
You'd be great in voiceover.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bad.
I only did it once for F is for Family. It's fun. It's a
fun
experience.
It?
Yeah. Where you just sit in the booth, like, you know, and you just got your headphones on, you got your script, and they say, go over it again, try it this way, try it that, and then you're like done. It's a lot of fun.
Really cool. The closest I ever came was for the movie when we had to go and do like the pickup lines and stuff. And then there was one part where we like rewrote a part of it. So we had it on my back and I had to like come up with the lines, but I was able to like improvise because you couldn't see me. So they gave me the idea and I said some stuff, which was kind of fun. Kind of interesting too. But I also didn't ever have to do an audiobook yet. And I think that would be a lot of fun to do an audiobook.
Like when are you going to, is that something on the horizon? Have you thought about writing?
Yeah, I mean, a kid's book is coming from me, but an audio book, a book?
Yeah, a book detailing.
My life?
Yeah, I'm sure that people would be. So what,
my life is so, and you can see everything about anything about me. It's so stupid. Everything's there. I'm on podcasts, I'm talking, I'm doing the show for 10 seasons. What more do you want to know at this point? He likes cannolis.
Can I tell you? This is what I think is fascinating. Okay, we have two very different ways of having fun in Vegas. Okay, so the first night we go out, we're in Vegas Sunday after your show. You guys all partition off, you and your boys, and I'm hanging at first, but then I'm like, I feel like having a drink, you know. So I went over to the bar, and people from the show came over to the bar, and I got stuck there. So I'm there till 3-4 in the morning, drinking, having a blast, getting bombed. And you guys are rolling the whole time. And I hear you laughing. I'm like, oh, I want to go over there. But then somebody else would come over and somebody else come over. And the next day, I was absolutely gassed, completely waxed. And I was in bed by 10:30. And you guys were just heading out at that point. And I was asleep. And then I'm going to the airport at 4:15 in the morning, mm-hmm. and you guys are still at the table, mm-hmm. and I walk over, and I'm like, hey, I can't believe you guys, and you are in the zone. You're like, great, great, okay, go. I want you to do it that way. Roll it again, roll it again. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be the cooler. Step off, respect the game. And I'm just like, did you guys have fun last night? Fucking amazing, great time, awesome. I go, okay. I'm like, well, I want to hear about it, so I call you the next day. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to hear about this adventure. What'd you guys do? And so this is like, for me, it'd be like, I got hammered. I went to the Griffin downtown. We did so many shots. We met so-and-so. We drank till 5 or 6 in the morning. Like, it was, for me, that's like fun.
Right.
You, it's like, well, we gambled. Then we went to Aria. And we gambled, and then we went to a club for like 10 minutes, and we came back to the Virgin, and then we like gambled.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but you said you had fun. You're like, oh, we had a blast.
We did.
Like that.
Yeah.
But there's no like craziness. There's no.
Oh,
like,
there's plenty of craziness.
But it always centers around the table.
Of course. That's yeah. that's where I invite people to enjoy the crazy.
See, I want to get a little.
Well, you you need some fuel for the fire, which is fine.
I need fuel for the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. That as my casino coffees. I was like 16 casino coffees in.
When you're okay, let me ask you this because I find this fascinating because you are, I can tell you gamble for fun.
Yeah.
You don't get too.
No, definitely not.
Because you know, there's people that wear it.
I don't gamble to win. I gamble to have fun. If I win, it's nice.
But when you lose, does it ruin everything? Does it kind of like stick with you when you're like, I got to go back and I got to make it?
No, no. I'll never say, yeah, I have to go back because that's when you know that there's issues. Right. But when if I have like a big loss right before bed,
right,
that pisses me off bad. Like yeah. when I tuck it in and I go, forget it. I'm going to go to bed now. Or it's like right before bed and I take a big swing and it doesn't pan out. Those ones sting the most because then you're just laying in bed. You're like, that was dumb. You know, or I could have done this different or something. I should have done something like
can
that.
Can I ask you this? Obviously, you can edit this out, but I want to know.
So you want to give us work?
I want to know what's your. I want to know.
You can't just ask me later.
Your biggest win?
You have to ask me now. So we have to do more work on the podcast.
Right, right.
Go
yeah.
Ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm learning it. I'm learning. What's your biggest win? Your biggest pot you've ever had, and then your biggest loss.
My biggest win wasn't necessarily a walk-away win. It was a Phoenix Rise from the Ashes story.
Okay.
So it was an $18,000 swing.
Oh my God.
On craps.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
I was down a bunch, and then we ended up walking.
You were down 18 grand?
No, I was down. I walked away. It was an $18,000 swing. I was down about 8, and I walked away with about almost 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it was about that, and that was my biggest swing up. That was the biggest swing, but straight up walk away. I don't know. It was probably never more than that. There's been a handful of times where I've walked away with close to 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was great. You know, but that only happens when like those really bets that you never hit. And I happen to be on them.
Sure.
You know, it's never really a big skill thing where I'm sitting at a blackjack table for 3 hours and then I'm like, right. I got them and walk away. Like, it's not like that, you know?
My biggest pot's maybe 150.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
yeah.
like. I got to walk yeah. away, guys.
But that's. I mean, you're talking about a guy who gambles a lot over a yeah. lot of time. Like that doesn't happen a lot. Like anyway, it's normally up or down within 1,000.
So you know? So your biggest loss would be
down a couple of anywhere from 1,000 to 15 and up. Upwards around like 2 grand.
I instantly would think, oh my God, my wife's going to kill me. That's yeah. all I would think about.
Well, that's why you need to be divorced. I mean, clearly.
There we go.
Works out for me.
Okay. Let's get to
easy
it.
Easy answer. Easy answer.
All right. This is Two Cool Moms. We're taking your questions. Very excited
yes,
about
thank
this.
You for everybody who writes in on Instagram at Two Cool Moms Pod. Crushing it out there. And thanks for everybody who subscribes and shares about us. Let's people know. People still find us. People still being like, hey. You do a podcast?
Yeah. You still got it.
About 50 in. Where you been? Come on through.
Okay. This first one's a bit of a doozy. This is coming to us from Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, guys. Thanks for bringing up a memory on an episode. I actually caught my dad.
Yeah. Caught him? Okay.
I was in my 30s. After I got over the shock of realization of what I saw, I laughed and said to myself, he's human. That's what we do. Still, it was weird. He's dead now, like Joe's dead, and I miss him.
Yeah, okay. At least you have that memory, Christina, and that's good. That's good.
He was at a joke or did something to make people laugh. I guess it's where I get my sense of humor and desire to make people smile happy. Thanks for everything you both do.
Oh, love you, Christina. There was a question who just wanted to let me know that her dad, her jacking off dad's dead. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's true. We're all human. I mean, you think about it and it's just a human nature, but it's about memories, really.
It's about memories. That's why when you go to Christina's house and you hear, ooh, it is a ghost.
But
he's about to.
It's the timing.
Ooh.
It's, and then you hear, ah. Booyaka. Do you? Booty. Did you? Do you? Would you rather get caught as a father?
Yeah.
By your 10-year-old son or your 30-year-old son jacking it?
Wait, he's catching me or I'm catching?
You're catching him.
I'm catching.
No, no, no. He's catching you. He's catching you. He's catching you. You're in your room doing your business. You're locked in your office bathroom.
So he's
with the AirPods in, with the laptop set up on the sink. Like I know how you do. I know how you do. And you forgot to lock the door. The slotted door.
You edit the stuff I say out, and this is the stuff that you. Okay, this is okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm painting a picture. I'm an artist.
Got it. Okay.
You got your wang in your hand. So, not 10's even too old. Would you rather get caught by like your 5-year-old son or by like your 30-year-old son?
30. For sure, 30. Because the 30-year-old, I think like her, she said she was 30 when it happened. It's like, you could laugh about it. When you're a kid, you have no idea what any of that stuff is.
There's questions.
That's something used to pee out of.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I think there's just so many more questions that come along with it.
Yeah, there's conversations happen with the younger kid where the older one's like, Dad.
Yeah, what were those people doing on the screen?
Yeah.
Why were three of them black?
Daddy's got a category. So, okay, that makes sense. I was also going to ask.
What about you?
I think I'm with you. I think with the 30, you laugh it off. But there's a sense of embarrassment with a 30-year-old that doesn't come with a 5-year-old. Because a 5-year-old, you could probably get it over on him. You probably could sell it as something else. Be like, you know.
Well, I don't know about that.
It depends on what phase you are in the moon. What phase of the moon you're in. All right. Depends. Yeah. Are you a crescent or are you full moon in it? I don't know. I think it's hard. My follow-up question was going to be, would you rather your son or your daughter catch you? It's got to be son, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Daughter would be even worse.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's his daughter. Like, that's weird. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of hot.
Depends on your category. Next question.
Okay.
Thanks, Christina, for writing in and listening. We love you.
Okay. Next question from Jillian. Mm-hmm. Hi, mommies. Love the podcast so much, but I need some help.
Oh, here we go.
I'm 15 years old. And I just got my driver's permit. I am super nervous about driving and haven't actually driven a car yet. Any tips about how to be a good driver while you're young? Thanks and love you both. Jillian, that's a great question.
That's really good. I actually dealt with this with my niece and nephew, my niece. Mm-hmm. She was a little sheepish. She still doesn't have her license yet. She's going to get it now.
How old is she?
She's 18. So would you 18? Get her permit? She was 16. She was a little nervous, about it. I think she failed the test once, too. So then she went away to college. She couldn't have a car, so there's no reason for her to get it as a freshman.
I mean, when I was growing up, that was the first thing you did when you turned 16.
Yeah, I was going to get it, right.
Get the permit and get the license. Everybody.
You didn't have Uber.
I don't know why. Oh, that's true.
Everybody has a car
kids
in their
don't
pocket.
Need to.
Car in the pocket.
Yeah.
You have a car right here.
It's all right here.
It's all right here. I would say
they have everything.
What do you
still complaining.
And they are complaining.
And they're just always depressed. Goddamn millennials. Ray just gets the force. Sorry.
Sorry, Grandpa. You're done? Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. I would say practice definitely, right? Practice makes perfect. But like
you think so?
You have to be behind the wheel a lot.
Yeah.
You have to be behind the wheel.
So if you want to get comfortable at doing something, you should practice it.
That's probably the right answer, no?
That's what I'll tell my son when he comes in.
Come here, boy. Come here. Sit down.
Call
Sit down.
Back.
I'll show you. Show you a thing or two. Don't forget, you have this one too.
Okay. Now this is what
I would think that a lot of it comes with being afraid of killing somebody, right?
Jesus,
isn't it? Like, well, that's what you're worried about. You're in charge of like a automobile, like a really cause some damage, right? So I think a lot of it is that, but you have to know that, you know, you're probably not gonna. I don't want to promise anything. But you may. You're probably not.
Jillian, don't listen to Joe.
Jill, you probably won't kill anybody. So don't be.
Put your seatbelt on.
Yes.
With your learner's permit, you have to have an adult with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all. That's the worst pep talk I've ever heard.
You might kill them.
That is the worst.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
So your passenger might die, too.
Oh, my God.
Don't drive.
Yeah.
Take an Uber.
And if you're driving a Tesla, it could catch a fire any moment in time.
That's true.
So there you go.
That's true. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also, like, stray dogs you might take down.
Deer.
An old lady just bending down to get the paper. You don't say, are you, because you're looking on your phone. I mean, all these things. It's a death trap. Take the bus.
Death trap. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, all that stuff you can't worry about because you're going to die one day anyway, Jillian.
Next question.
Or even worse, catch your dad jacking off. I'm trying to think if I was a nervous driver. I wasn't really necessarily a nervous driver. Ever. I don't think I ever was. I think I was pretty confident with it.
Were you? I think I was pretty confident. You too? Yeah. I mean, we had a go-kart when I was a kid.
Ah, that helps.
So, look, they're two totally different things.
I played pole position a lot.
Spy
the
Hunter.
The stand-up, right?
Yeah. But I knew, you know, the pedals and whatever. So I think there's a comfortability factor there. But look, you get an adult in there.
Yeah.
Take it easy. I think the biggest piece of advice I'd give you is you're not in a rush.
Yes.
Respect everybody on the road. Mm-hmm. Be defensive.
Yeah.
And blind spots. I think even to this day, I still get paranoid about blind spots.
100%. Yeah.
There's times I'm moving over.
You mean blind people crossing the street that you could possibly hit?
100%. Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. They're dull.
Just look for blind people. Yeah.
That was actually really good advice. You did way better on that one than I did.
Yeah. Not the world's going to end. Everybody's going to die.
You might as well drive.
You know, you could get AIDS driving. It's like, Jesus, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good luck. It is. It's an immense responsibility that you should not take lightly.
I think the speed thing's smart. Like, just take your time with it.
Your time. Yeah.
For sure.
Don't be in a rush.
Great.
Unlike me.
See, that was great. Great advice.
Thank you.
That's why it's two cool moms, because sometimes one mom doesn't do good advice.
Good mom, bad mom.
That's right.
Bad mom, good mom. Sometimes you flip the coin, you see what you get.
It lands on one a lot, though.
Yeah. All right. This is coming to us from Hannah.
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 What is Hannah asking?
That's a great name.
With an H or no H?
How would you spell Hannah?
H-A-N-N-A or H-A-N-N-A-H?
Oh, you're saying at the end.
At the end, yeah. Oh, yeah. You fucking dope. You thought I didn't know there was an H to start Hannah. That's where your mind went. You are such an idiot sometimes. You know what? I didn't think there was an H in front of Hannah. How do you spell Hannah? H at the end or no H?
Well, this is the crazy thing. Her last name is Barbera. Sorry. Looney Tunes. Okay, here we go.
That's not even Looney Tunes, though. That's the third wheel.
Hanna-Barbera.
Third.
Yeah, third tier, right?
Third tier. Disney, Looney.
Give me a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
I'll give you a million. Yogi Bear, Jetsons, right? Yogi Bear, Jetsons. You got Scooby-Doo.
Flintstones,
yep. Yeah. Flintstones, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo's Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera. Scooby-Doo. Who do you think Scooby-Doo was?
All the syndicated stuff that was like fresh out of the oven. Looney Tunes was holdover.
I feel like Hanna-Barbera was East Coast, don't you? I feel like it was like kind of like an East Coast thing.
No.
I don't know if it was, though,
Looney
right?
Tunes is East Coast. Bugs Bunny is like Bronx and Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, that's his voice, but it was out of Warner Brothers in Los Angeles. It was out of California.
Yeah, but a lot of those characters had like an East Coast.
East Coast vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Space Ghost, was he?
Space Ghost is Hanna-Barbera.
I love Space Ghost.
Yeah, Space Ghost is great.
Okay.
Droopy Dog.
Oh, dear.
That's what she sounds like when she's driving.
Oh, dear. This is coming to us from Hannah with two H's. Hi, Steve and Joe. I need advice.
In the front? Double H? That's weird. Hannah?
I don't know why.
What should we name our daughter? Let's make it different. Hannah.
I flew here for this. He took the LIE. I flew here for this.
1 hour traffic.
I have an extreme. I have a crush on someone, and we have an extreme and valuable connection just within 2 weeks of knowing each other. So it's only been 2 weeks.
That's good.
Half a month, Joe.
Nice start. 14 days for those who are counting. Right? 14 days.
But he's...
I'm just saying.
Yes.
760 hours. When you break it down this way, it's...
That's the math leading you. Yeah, you can't help yourself.
1,850 minutes.
Can I please...
Yeah, sorry.
But he's looking to lose his virginity. He's 22, I'm 20. And that seems to be his first priority. The thing that's most important to him.
This is 2 weeks in. There's a lot going on here, Hannah.
Hannah, that's pretty much every guy. And I'm not looking to do that right now. And that's pretty much every girl. We talked about it. He doesn't feel like waiting for me, but still values our connection and wants to continue talking. What do I do? And how do I go about this? I love you all very much. Thanks for being the way you all are.
Oh, thank you.
That's very nice, Hannah.
Did she want us to use her name, though?
It's just Hannah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, don't ever do anything you don't want to. Bottom line. So, yeah. Fine. You seem fine. You seem what you're thinking is right. I mean, you're not. Don't let anybody pressure you to do anything. If you're not ready to do anything, then don't do anything. And when you're ready, you're ready. If it's with this guy, it's with this guy. If it's not, it's not.
We're all going to die anyways.
100%. You know, you could be, you know,
just get in a car.
Get in a car.
Run into a light post.
Yeah. It could be it. Yeah, for sure. I think that everyone deals with that situation one way or another. And it's not only when it comes to, but.
Not everybody's dealing with that situation.
If you let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
If you let me finish my sentence.
Finish it. Good.
Everybody is dealing with that situation one way or another when they have a horny 22-year-old man who's trying to penetrate them at every turn. That's what I was going to say. No, everybody was dealing with that. Everyone has that dealing with a situation one way or another when they're in a relationship and they feel some sort of pressure to do something they're not willing necessarily to do. It doesn't have to be sex. It could be anything. That's what I was going to say.
But geez, like, I'm just picturing it all like, you know, you have those connections and it's like 1 a.m. and you started talking 8 o'clock and you're talking about life and philosophy and the way of the world and values and music and movies and you have a deep connection and the whole time you're like, smoke up a dick wet. You get on top of me. He's like, I just want to know this connection. He's like, yeah, well, you just fuck me.
What is going on?
Are you in a rabbit hole? That's all he's thinking about, though. He's like doing
well,
that's
the way she's painting him.
Holding the door open. Oh, thanks for holding it.
I just want to fuck you. It's like
it's a great meal.
Yeah, I'm going to tip it. I just want to fuck you. Fuck me.
At the end of every question, that's how he ends everything. Can we fuck now? Yeah, that's the 22-year-old kid.
I think a 22-year-old boy does have, sex on the mind.
Of course.
So...
every day of his life is like that 80s or 90s like movie where they're all seniors and going that one party.
Yeah.
It's like, tonight we're going to lose our virginity.
But he's 22.
He's 22. Yeah, it's pretty late in the game.
A little late in the game.
That's why. How old were you?
21.
21?
Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catholic.
Did they catch him?
Here we go.
I mean, that's weird. It's weird to have to. I just hope that she's smart enough to stick to her guns here and not feel pressure into something. So, Hannah, thank you for writing in and use this opportunity to know that you're in charge of it all. So, do what you want. And
it sounds like she already is, though.
Yeah, and if you genuinely have a connection, that'll last.
Yeah.
You know? And you might get there over time.
And I think, like...
Here it comes.
No.
Write the time down.
No, I was going to... You don't have to edit this out. I think if you genuinely have a connection, I think what's fascinating is that at that time period, 18 to 23,
yep.
I think kids are going a little crazy.
For sure.
Kids are making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Kids are kicking tires. They're hooking up. And I think once they kind of get, once that chunk of time is gone, you kind of do revisit. I think there are relationships you go back to.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And you go, I wonder what that person, I really did like that. Now that you're kind of in a place where you're a little more mature, physically and mentally, I think you do revisit those relationships.
Past connections, and, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And see what happens. So if there's a genuine connection, he's going to go off, he's going to do his thing, and so are you, by the way, at your own time and speed. But at the same time, if there generally is there, then it'll figure it out itself.
There's a nostalgic feel to it, but also 2 weeks is quick.
Yeah.
2 weeks is tough. Yeah, two weeks is a quick time to be start talking about, hey, I want to poke you.
Yeah, but I saw this Western the other night,
mm-hmm.
and like back in the day when they didn't have Facebook, like that would be normal though.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can't keep in touch. Yeah. And what cowboys on Facebook? Reach for the sky, log in.
All right. This coming to us from Dan.
Ooh, Dan.
With two H's.
Got it.
How do I tell my best friend I can't be his best man at his wedding? Please help. I know I got a question you haven't answered. I could use the help. My friend is getting married. I was best man at his wedding about 10 years ago. Here's the twist. His sister is my ex-wife. I met them both at the same time and became close with his family. Emotionally, it's hard for me to be around my ex. How do I tell him I can't be the best man? Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you just did, right? You just tell him.
I think exactly what you just said to us.
It's perfectly plausible. It's the truth. It's the way you feel. So what's he going to do about that? You know, and he would also want somebody. He doesn't want that baggage at his wedding, right?
No.
So are you not even going to attend? Because if you say all this, you can't go to the wedding.
Yeah, I think
I can't be your best man, but I'll just come and eat the shrimp platter.
Then that'd be even weird.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean,
because if you're there, you might as well do it.
Yeah, you got to retract totally. The other thing is here is like this is the whole thing we talk about where you have to weigh, the term lesser of two evils, which I don't like very much. It's more, you know, what's best for you. What do you think you could handle the best for somebody you care about? Do you care about this guy more?
It's his best friend.
Right. That you care about uncomfortability of yourself. Mm-hmm. And is it more important to you to be there for him? And will you live with regret for missing this opportunity just because of something that is not there anymore?
Sure.
You know, so that's you don't want to bow out and then regret it and feel bad for a long time. And then, you know, possibly, you know, because there's no going back, you know, unless you got to go to his next wedding. Be the best man the next time it happens.
I'd say, Dan, shut up. Buck up, bite your tongue.
You would.
That's your best friend. Do it for him. It's not about you. It's his wedding day. Yeah, it sucks, but that's why there's booze. So shut up, kick a few back, have fun, shut your mouth, show up as soon as they play Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Come on.
You can dip out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's be a good friend.
You got some surefire advice today, and you're delivering with confidence.
That's
you know what
here.
It is? You zipped all the way to the top.
That's
you zipped
here.
All the way up, and you're ready to go.
Clear, concise, prepared, ready. Boom.
Great.
Trim the fat. None. Let's go. Let's get to work.
Okay.
I'm sorry to... no pussyfoot in here.
Okay, you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm sick of it.
Okay.
You got a question? Give it to me.
Go ahead.
What do you want? What do you need?
Oh, we don't
Talk
have
to
enough,
me.
We don't have enough time. You ain't got these answers.
This is coming to us from Houston Artist.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I guess Houston Artist. Hi. Have people sent their drawings? If not, I'll draw them.
Oh, wow.
I don't think anybody's
sent...
I think we've gotten
a couple of things, but not much. But I'm always into fan art. I love fan art, right? You haven't gotten drawn a lot. Like, that was the thing with Jokers. Like, people would draw us all the time. I guess we're very, like, easy to draw and whatnot. But
Hold on. Just back up. What'd you say?
I get drawn a lot with Jokers.
No, but
you don't get drawn a lot?
No, you assumed I didn't.
Okay, do you?
No.
Okay, so I assumed correctly?
Yeah.
So I was right.
I don't have as big of a fan base. Yes, you're correct.
No, because
is that what this is about?
No, because your fans have to like you. That's the difference. So when they like you, they want to give you stuff. I would love to see you drawn. Look at that camera.
Me?
Yeah. Draw that.
Okay, Houston Artist, the challenge has been set. Yeah. No, I don't think we've had too much
No,
fan
I always
art.
Like fan art, though. It's always fun. People are so talented, too. I wish I could draw. But what I get drawn a lot is me and a dog, or me and my dogs, or my dogs get drawn a lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, yeah, I would...
Before they die?
Yeah, one died this morning. That's
Come
why
on.
I was late. That's why I was late.
Oh, my God.
So how do you feel now, asshole?
Pretty bad.
Got hit by
pretty
a car.
Pretty bad.
There
no.
was a 15-year-old driving it.
No, shut up.
That's a callback. And see how his mind is blown when we play comedic checkers. King me, bitch.
Wow.
No, one did die this morning, though. Orzo. Well, we think he's died. There, he's at the place. They're like working on it. Yeah, but he's old, 15 years old, riddled with cancer. We just gave him some good loving on the way out. But
well, you only got 32 left.
Yeah, 28. Don't exaggerate.
28? Are you serious?
No, I don't even know what the count's at right now. But yeah, I would say draws.
Dude, you're like the Mexican border of like dogs. It's unbelievable. Like ICE should be at your house, like deporting dogs out of your home. It's crazy how many dogs you have. How many? It's honestly, do you think you have?
I'm
right
in El Paso.
Now? El Paso.
I'm the El Paso
the
dog
El
rescue.
El Paso of dog rescues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that there was a?
Here it goes.
No, it's okay. I was gonna do one of my jokes. All right, Houston artist.
Yeah,
look forward to it.
I wish you draws.
Looking forward to this. This will be exciting.
I wonder. Tap on his. Oh, there's a screenshot.
Screenshot. Yeah. Okay. You ready for another?
Come hit me. Let's solve some more. You're on fire. I don't want to get in your way.
Well, look, Joe's hydrating. He's staying. This is round 10. Here we go. Hi, mommies, from Tyler. I'll be at the Zany show.
Oh, yeah.
So if it'd be cool if you could answer this question. I'm basically a 23-year-old man child. I'm currently a fourth grade English teacher. My bedroom is decorated with Marvel comics. I often wear Disney and Peanut shoes / clothes. My classroom is Charlie Brown themed. While I'm not ashamed of being a nerdy man child, I find it hard to date, obviously. Do you have any dating advice that does not require me to change who I am? With love, Tyler.
Covered every pot, Tyler. You'll find your Lucy. You'll be able to kick that football one day or another. No, I think he's describing a lot of people that have girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? That's not a thing anymore, or you know, at all.
By the way, that's like your fan base.
That is 100%.
Your fan base are like really sweet.
Yeah,
I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are just sweet, kind of like nerds.
Nerdy,
that like
yeah.
like they. By the way, like,
but I feel like that's cachet now. I mean, right?
15 or 20 years ago,
yeah.
It'd be niche if you were like, oh my God, I'm just like looking up Easter eggs and Back to the Future and Goonies and stuff. Right. It's like now, like everybody's a nerd.
People
want that.
Yeah.
People love like Marvel, DC, Star Wars. They know everything about all these things.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's.
So it goes down to where do you meet people, right? Because he's saying, I think that's the part of it. Like, it's not the kind of person you are. I think you have to open yourself up to where you're able to meet single people that are like-minded of that, right? So like.
Yeah. Charlie Brown's kind of niche.
Charlie Brown is a little niche. Yeah, Charlie Brown's Pigpenny.
But he's a lovable loser.
Yeah.
That's what Charlie Brown is.
That's me. I'm a lovable loser. I love dogs. I got a dog's my best friend. Same deal.
Oh.
I'm rotund. I just need a black shirt. if you don't love the Charlie Brown Christmas special, if that's not your number one thing, I mean, that's
a
tough
sell. I'll tell you this right now. I've seen that thing 15 times. I don't know how many times I've seen it, right?
Yeah.
I still have no idea what it's about. I don't know what the story is.
I can't wait. I just wait for the scene where they're all dancing with the bum, 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 bum,
yeah.
bum, bum.
That's like, I don't know. Like, I could tell you what Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I know what that's about.
Yeah.
The Charlie Brown one, I've seen it countless times. Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Fucking
I
idea.
Agree.
What's the story? Do you know the story?
They goes to buy a little dead tree.
And that's it.
And then they go.
But there's a recital.
They make fun about it. There's a recital in the middle.
What is it?
Right. What's Schroeder's
the story?
On the Schroeder's making those keys tickling the ivies. Everybody starts dancing. Then the
Red
sister
Baron
gets up. The Red Baron flies through.
What's that?
Gets up and talks about how you know Jesus Christ is important in Christmas. And then there's a dead tree. And then they all hold hands.
It's like Sal took a gummy and wrote the script.
That's exactly right.
No one knows what the fuck it's about.
No, it
but
is.
The song's great.
Yeah.
Well,
Christmas time.
Yeah,
it's very Children of the
weird.
Corny.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. So that's his problem. Get rid of the Charlie Brown and everything else is aces, pal.
I think it's really sweet that you have that stuff for the kids in the mm-hmm. in the classroom.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a nice environment for the kids. It's nice that you hold on to that attachment you must have associated with Charlie Brown as a kid. But in terms of dating. It's like, I wouldn't wear that shit out to, like,
wear
the
that.
First date
I wouldn't wear
like
that. I mean, the Charlie Brown Chucks is a pretty cool, pretty nice little touch if it's a little pop, but I wouldn't go out in the full brown. Like, I wouldn't wear my Looney. If I was going
on a first date.
This is not a first date outfit, buddy.
No.
And I love Looney Tunes as much as you love Charlie Brown.
That's we just did it. I'm going to go brush my teeth before I go to bed, and that's what you're throwing over.
Oh, you cover it up? I just let it glisten.
You do?
My body shines in the stars.
Just let that body shine.
That's it. Oh. Boo.
All right. I think we did it.
I think we did it.
Another episode of Two Cool Moms. Rate, review, subscribe.
Yes, 100%.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Talk quickly about where people could see you in Las Vegas.
At Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club every Thursday, every other Thursday. Yeah, I have this residency. It's it's a show called New Year's Steve.
Love it.
Where every show is New Year's Eve, and we count down the new year.
That's so fantastic.
So it's a lot of fun. We just did our second show, and it's like getting better and better and better. I work with a great comic, Pete Giovanni, my good friend Y Boswell, and it's a total blast. And yeah, I mean, I'm hitting the road with you as well.
Yeah, you are. You are going to be hitting the road with me. You go to, for your information, you go to steveburncomedy.com/UberDriver. And for me, you go to joegattoofficial.com because you have to get the official one. There's too many fake Joe Gattos.
Yeah, here's the difference between our shows. Joe's on billboards and I'm on Groupon.
But it's on the homepage.
It's on the homepage. All right.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.